Thank you, brethren, for returning to your seats promptly. We continue our symposium now, and we're looking at Titus 2:7. In particular, we're looking at good works. And we have Brother Don Horine with us to consider this topic. Lord bless you, Brother Don.
Thank you, Brother Darcy, and appreciate all of you, my brethren, here, and the Lord's special treasure that we get to look at your faces now, so I appreciate that privilege, and we have love from all your brethren out in Ithaca, New York, and especially our family, too, Brother Josh, Sister Melissa, Brother Danny Horine, and Sister Anita and Brother Samir from the Mishawaka area, and also had a big load of love to everyone from Sister Cher. She wants the biggest pile we can hand out there. and also love from the Atlanta brethren, especially Brother Rick and Sister Ramona Hill and Sister Ginger Fanicone, were ones that especially wanted their love sent to everyone, and Sister Barbara from Louisiana, I think. And so appreciated the privilege of having this subject, and it's been a really good one for me too. And like Brother Ed said, this is huge. And if you want the references, they're right out in the hall. I mean, that's, and of course, for a pattern of good works, our whole instruction book really is volume 6. There. So anytime we have any questions, look up where our difficulties lie in volume 6. You know, if we're having trouble with our children, look at parental and other obligations of the new creation. You know, just take a look at those things. We wanted to start out here by looking at a few of the words in our Titus 2:7. There in all things, in the King James, I'd like to read two translations, King James and NIV here. Many of them are really great. And in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. And in the NIV, it says, and above all, make your own life a pattern of right conduct. Really appreciated translation, having your teaching, in your teaching, no taint of insincerity, but a serious tone. And thinking of our Lord Jesus, you know, and the apostles too, they never a man spake like this man. They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And of the disciples, it said they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they perceived that they had learned of Jesus. And Jesus is really our pattern for the good works. And looking at in all things there, in or through or with respect to, as Strong's 40:12. And all things, of course, you immediately think of Brother Freeman. What do we not understand about all? And so this showing ourselves a pattern unto good works is something that we're to be doing what percent of the time? 100%. That's what we really appreciate. Whether you're walking into the grocery store, you're taking care of your children, you're helping with your parents, and Or you're by yourself. We should also be that way, too. And I always appreciated the July 3rd manna, and it's coming up here pretty shortly, and that we need to have patience toward the world and our own self, you know, joyfully, unmurmuringly, uncomplainingly, and so that is something that even if we're alone, we should be that way, you know. So if it's showing ourselves a pattern of good works in all things and at all times, and then showing is Strong's 3930, showing to hold near, that is present, afford, exhibit, or furnish occasion. So really just showing all our consecration is really the key, as it was with our Lord, and it needs to be full all the time. And then pattern, we're in the machine tool business, so we know about dies, mold cavities, and so forth. Pattern is from Strong's 5180, which is a die is struck. And then it says that is by implication a stamp or scar, an analogy, and a shape. So it's the condition of our character in our walk in the narrow way is really what's being referred to there. And we should be showing in that the pattern of good works all the time. And then we looked at good here, and it says, I like that too, it says properly beautiful. And I thought that is really sweet. And but chiefly figuratively good, literally or morally, that is valuable, virtuous, for appearance or use, and thus distinguished from, here's something I really appreciated here, Strong's 18, which is properly intrinsic. So now with our Lord, that was an inherent characteristic in him. He was good. But look at ourselves, fallen, undone, in need of a Savior. So we're not intrinsically good, but we should be showing our lives in the Lord in the narrow way as a pattern of good works. Even though we're not intrinsically good, we want to do our absolute best. And as our Lord Jesus said, without me, ye can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. But with him, we can do all things through Christ. And so that's what we have to keep in mind all the time there. And then works as Strong's 2041 would be work or toil. And as an effort or occupation. And so our chief vocation is making our calling and election sure. And I remember the brethren had asked Brother Russell at one time, what's your next sermon going to be? And his answer was, this may surprise you, brethren, but my most important work is to make my own calling and election sure. Otherwise, he would be a castaway. And so that should always be the most important thing for us as well. We're to do good unto all men as we have opportunity, especially unto the household of faith. And we're to do good and love our enemies as well. And, you know, all of those will be our children, and technically they are now. For all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Since our Lord has returned and the kingdom has started, that and he's already taken out the Gentile governments there and their lease of power for the 2,520 years. And so taken to him himself his great power and has reigned. Like Brother Ed says, the doctrines are really important that we understand these things. And I always look at them as like a toolbox. That if you were going to build an engine, for instance, you have to have tools or it can't be done. But then, like 1 Corinthians 13, though I have all knowledge and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. God is love. Brother Ed quoted one of the scriptures we had too, where Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's really extremely important there. Once you've reached that perfection of character there, you will then be able to go beyond the veil, and then you'll have infinite knowledge of everything there. Of course, God has all eternity ahead of us all. So he, no matter how fast he feeds us knowledge, he's already got all eternity of it before. So we just really appreciate, you know, that the doctrine too is the important thing. You wouldn't have the full assurance of faith without doctrine. And I think it was mentioned maybe a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's part of our work. And how long do we need to do that? All our life. There, lest we let the thing slip. We need to keep studying. I know I'm a leaky vessel for sure. And our dear brother Russell was in a meeting one time. Now, I always appreciated this, that they, after their Sunday service, they get together for a meal, and then they'd have a question meeting, and everybody sitting around the table would ask a question. And so someone asked a particular question, and there was, I don't know, well, maybe this, except, you know, on around, it comes to Brother Russell. He says, you know, brethren, I don't know the answer to that question either. And then it went on around the rest of the way. Well, the next Sunday they got together, and Brother Russell says, remember the question that was asked last Sunday, thus and so? He says, I found the answer. It was in the fifth volume. And so Brother Russell knew where the information was coming from. You know, don't believe it because I said it. Search the scriptures and find out whether these things are so. And so what do we find out with Jesus himself? And Brother I'll skip over the part about the doctrine and how it's incorruptible and so forth. Brother Ed covered that very nicely. And he did make, where it says in the King James, with all gravity, this was one thing that caught my attention in there. It says, for gravity, venerableness, that is probity, if I'm pronouncing that right, and then translated gravity or honesty. And here's what the definition of probity is from Webster's. Primarily tried virtue or integrity or approved actions, but in general strict honesty, sincerity, veracity, integrity in principle, or straight conformity of actions to the laws of justice. Probity of mind or principle is best evidenced by probity of conduct. By their fruit ye shall know them. In social dealings, particularly in adhering to strict integrity in the observance and performance of rights called imperfect, which public laws do not reach and cannot enforce. People around are doing wrong things all the time, and there's no way that any laws or anything going on in the country or any police or any others can stop them from doing these things. It's just rampant everywhere. But that's not to be the case for us. And that's I thought that was really neat because that shows, again, that we need to be an example of good works all the time. Not just once in a while or when we're with our brethren or whatever the case may be. It's all the time. And then how do we know then what we're supposed to do exactly? And that's where doctrines come in and also instructions from the doctrine that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here's what Moses said in Numbers 16:28. And, of course, Moses is a type of our Lord. He's a greater than Moses. He said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. So the things that Moses did weren't things that he invented up to do. He didn't decide what work he was going to do and then go out and do it. He looked to God for everything that he was supposed to do. And then our Lord Jesus in Psalms 40 verses 7 through 10, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart." Let it out. "I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." So that was the attitude of our Lord Jesus. And Jesus, in talking with the scribes and Pharisees in John chapter 8, verses 28 to 32, appreciated that here too. "Who does he give honor to always? When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself." Remember the Apostle Paul saying too, he couldn't do anything of himself, but "I do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Jesus had that exact same attitude. So the Apostle Paul was following him in the works there that he should do. And here's what Jesus said: "But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So there's the example of one of our good works. If people see us, and where are we? What are we always referring to whenever we talk to anybody about anything? And a lot of times they say, "Well, I want to hear what you think, not what the Bible says." And, you know, I say, "Well, that is what I think." It just states it better than I can. And that's how we all feel. And that was the beautiful thing that God appreciated about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's why God loves us all so much. We believe him, even though the world thinks we're crazy. And it's getting more like that every day. I mean, they're more and more sure there is no God. You know, they just go look around. There's obviously no God. We look around and it's point blank obvious there is a God, and that all his prophecies that, and where he said I will, which we'd went over that I think the last time when we were here. There's a 1916 hits on just the phrase I will in the Bible, and it's almost always God saying, "I will do this, and I will do this. I will overturn it until he comes who's right it is, and I will give it to him." That's history. He did it. He sent his only begotten Son, which he promised that he would do, and he did. And so he promised Eve would have trouble in childbirth, and Adam would eat by the sweat of his brow. It's proof of it everywhere. And so all of these things, and he told Noah about the flood and to prepare an ark, and it happened. So all of those things that God said, he did. And then the "be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect," our Lord's words in Matthew 5:48. And then Romans 12:1-2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's our work. this side the veil, and it's our attitude in it while we're doing it that it's the key. We're to be an example of the believers. And so they see our full assurance of faith in these things, the world does, and that's the key. And going back to our title of A Pattern of Good Works, our Lord Jesus is the pattern of good works that we are to follow. And remembering in his experiences, when did his experiences start? You know, they started when he consecrated. He already had memorized the Bible because he went into the wilderness for the 40 days and 40 nights with that knowledge. But now, being begotten of the Holy Spirit, he now understood a high percentage of the scriptures in there, and especially most of his walk in the narrow way and all of the things that he had to do. And there was even some uncertainty there in his mind in the Garden of Gethsemane, where, you know, he prayed with strong cryings and tears to him who was able to deliver him from death. Had he done absolutely everything? What a burden that was on our Lord's shoulders there, and thankfully we don't have that burden. And then, of course, he had the experience on the cross where our Heavenly Father had to turn his face from him, as he did from Adam. And we don't have to have that either. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the author and finisher of our faith has been tested in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so for us, it required justification first, a robe of righteousness on our behalf before we could make an acceptable consecration and have it be accepted and be spirit begotten. And then we learned many things before that even. And where did we learn them from? Where did the assurance that it was real come from? Remember what Jesus said to Peter after he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus' reply, and he was standing there, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. The disciples probably didn't even realize the extent of that until they were spirit begotten, of what that meant. But here the whole world, no one else in the world believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, except his followers and ones who are in the court condition. They're the only ones that know that. The world thinks that Jesus was maybe a great prophet, or at least a really good guy, and then churchianity thinks he's part of a trinity. They don't believe that God sent him, because they believe that he is God. They don't believe he died, because you can't kill God. And everything is contradicting the doctrines of the scriptures. Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. And so all of these things are the works that we need to do, and in believing these things. The world doesn't believe it, and they think we're crazy because we do. And then works are manifested by fruits. So there's a really nice statement in reprint 5504, paragraph 5. The fruits of the people of God are holiness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, self-sacrifice for others and for God and for His truth. I thought that was a really nice statement there. In John chapter 14, verse 9, after Philip had said to Jesus, "Show us the Father and it suffices us," what was his answer? "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. There's our example of good works that we're to be all the time right there, so that one day mankind is going to say, yeah, we know what God is like because we know what Brother Ed was like and Sister Gail and Sister Rosemary and Brother Harry. They'll look back and see that. Our good works, which they shall behold, they will glorify God in the day of their visitation, the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. They're going to glorify God because of what they have seen in each of you. And we see that in you. We always feel like, fallen really short. But the world looks at us and they think differently. At the airport coming here, there's all of these people, kind of not real happy about the flights being canceled and stuff like that. And I had all kinds of interesting things going wrong, I lost my boarding pass even. I had my boarding pass for the flight, and I'm like, I went through everything in my computer. I have no idea where it went. So I walked up to the counter and I said, I think I'm getting retarded in my old age here. I said, I've somehow lost my boarding pass. And then the lady goes, oh, no problem here. And she types in, out comes another one. And so then when everybody was in the line going to get their flights changed and all of this kind of stuff, and I just waited and I was at the end of it, went in there, wasn't going anywhere anyway. So we get up there and she says, thank you for your patience. We weren't, you're not thinking of anything like that, but yet the world notices those things in each of us. And so then Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Like, you haven't got it yet. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. So when Jesus is talking with everyone, the scribes and Pharisees, with his disciples, he was using God's words. Where do you find those words? Book of Isaiah, typically, a lot of them. And Ezekiel, and many places, Psalms, and all of that. Well, the words Jesus was speaking was the words that God told him. And I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And remember when Jesus raised Lazarus, he openly prayed to God and he told God, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for them so that they will know what's going on here. And I'm praying to have Lazarus raised from the dead, and I'm saying it so that they will know that you did it, Heavenly Father. And when Lazarus was raised, they were praising God. And so they got the picture there. And then Jesus goes on to say, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. That was the thing that the scribes and Pharisees were actually reprimanded of there. Jesus told them even, you don't have to believe me personally, but believe the works. Because God had all of these things in the prophecies that I've been doing, raising the dead, healing the sick, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. That was all works that Jesus was doing there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. When Jesus went to present the blood on the mercy seat when God raised him from the dead, and then the Holy Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost. And you think of all of the works of the brethren throughout the whole gospel age. There, the development of the new creation, this side of the veil, and them sharing the truth and our Heavenly Father's plans with one another and encouraging one another. The wife hath made herself ready collectively. And so all of those works were generating the whole new creation, our Lord being the head. And so they had greater works, even that Jesus did. He was doing mechanical things there typically at his first advent. These were spiritual things after Pentecost. Greater works. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So that's a work we have to do. And should we keep the Lord's commandments? No, we should keep the Lord's commandments. We should be really happy and joyous to do it because, you know, if we do works to be seen of men, not good. But if we're desiring to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father as Jesus was, that's why every word that He gave was from God. All of the works that He did were from God. God did it, and He gave God the credit for it. And if that's our attitude 100% all the time in the narrow way, then I never did anything successfully. Just like Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. And so that's really extremely important. And then we come to the question that the disciples asked Jesus, and this is in John chapter 6 and verse 28 and 29. Then they said unto him, they were wondering too, what are the works that we're to do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus was working the works of God, and he was believing 100% in his Father's ability to deliver him all the time. And even on the cross at the end, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So that's the important work right there. Jesus is our Savior. His robe of righteousness covers our failings and shortcomings, that we do have a standing before our Heavenly Father, and that we can run in the race for the prize of the high calling. And then he goes on to say in Matthew 7, we kind of look at things that would not be as correct. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So if the works that we were doing were works that we wanted to do or made up to do, and we weren't seeking God's will in the matter for the works, it's no good. And the scripture we mentioned before was 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that's what the world of mankind is looking at us right now, but they may by your good works, which they shall behold. It doesn't say the good doctrines that we're teaching. You know, it's the good works. You know, what's our character like? Are we like Jesus or not? There. Now, if we're teaching good doctrines in the right spirit and in the right way, sharing the wonderful treasures of the kingdom and the resurrection and the blessing of all of the families of the earth, then we're doing it the right way, and those are good works. Backed by doctrine that is proved in the scriptures. And if they believe in the scriptures, they'll be blessed by them now. They will know it true absolutely later. But whenever we can give a little ray of hope to anyone now, that's just wonderful. And I had 28 years of my life having none. And I know that's not fun. We had everything else we could have wanted, but it was not satisfying. This is. And so we wanted to take a quick look at the Jesus's temptations in the wilderness there, because Brother Russell says that's the same thing that we all go through too. We're tempted along those same lines, and there's a good reprint as well, reprint 3296, and it's entitled Special Trials Follow Consecration. And so and then of course consecration and begetting of the Holy Spirit, as it was with Jesus, where he went the 40 days into the wilderness, and that's when his trials as a new creature began. And so, and by the way, Brother Russell mentions these temptations wouldn't be a temptation if there was alternatives. You know, Jesus would have to decide one way or another when Satan tempted him. He had the power to command the stones to be made into bread, which is, that's what Satan suggested to his mind, was command these stones, if you're the Son of God, you know, command these stones to be made bread, and then you won't be hungry. You can eat that. And what was our Lord's reply? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in the Lord's providence, we had that experience the last time we went to visit Brother Josh. You have to go in with a bag with money in it so you can get food out of the vending machines, and that's basically all you can walk in there with. And I made it up and everything and forgot it. And so we studied the whole time, and neither one of us were hungry. And that was really, really great. So we all can have those experiences too. I'd much rather miss a meal than miss fellowship with our brethren. And then the next one was that he should jump off of the pinnacle of the temple, because the adversary said, he shall give his angels a charge concerning thee, lest thy dash thy foot against the stone. So he wanted him to just go up there and do that. If he did this miraculous thing, people are just going to bow down to you right away and appreciate you and all of that. But our Lord's reply, pebble from the brook, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so not only do we have to study the scriptures, we got to rightly divide the word of truth. And here you had two scriptures there that the angels were given charge concerning him and each of you too. But we don't want to go driving down the highway like this. That would be tempting God, and we would need an experience there to show that's not a good idea. And then, of course, the adversary's final one was, just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. I'll help you out and make it easy. But that wasn't in harmony with him giving his life a ransom for all. Everybody prior to that had died would be lost then. There's pretty quick reasoning Jesus could have done there that this is not, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God. And worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so that should be our attitude. And I'm sorry, I don't have the... I think maybe in the same reprint I just read a little while ago. And he says, Brother Russell says, complete consecration is essential to victory. And that was our Lord, 100% I delight to do thy will, O my God. And that should be each of ours also. And here's a comment he made about our Lord Jesus. Our Lord was saved from any vacillation or manifestation of weakness on this subject by reason of the fullness, the completeness of his consecration, which he had symbolized at Jordan. There he had said, in heart at least, because he hadn't done it yet, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within written within my heart. And so that was our Lord Jesus' attitude all through his consecration. And that should be our work this side the veil too. And we should be wise as serpents, meek as doves when we're talking to others. And we should always be trying to be encouraging to people, even our enemies, because they are our children. And as Brother Russell says, the only way that won't be true is if we don't make our calling and election sure. They are now. Now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what ye shall be. But we know we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's our desire for you, each of you, my brethren, that you continue faithful in the narrow way and ask an interest in your prayers on our behalf, that we do the same and press down on the mark for the prize of the high calling.